There's a word that has become quite frequently used in our house lately. It's become a very common word, gets said a lot, and that word is why. Why? As we traveled up here on this trip, we heard it quite a bit. Frequently when we come to intersection in the road, and we would stop, the question would come up, why are we stopping, Daddy? Why? Why are we stopping? How would you answer that question? Why are we stopping? Let's sit on that for a little bit. Question I have for myself this morning is, as I look over the sea of faces, is why did I agree to stand up here in front of you all? But all joking aside, I want to greet you this morning in Jesus' name. It's a privilege to be here this morning. I can say that truly. We've been richly fed these past couple days. And I pray that we can allow that gift that we've been given to be a blessing to us as we go from here and apply what we've heard. I thought of a verse this morning, Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's my desire this morning, is to be a part of that. That just paints a beautiful picture, the idea of the Word of God, the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly with all wisdom. I love that picture. I love to see that happen. And with God's grace, I want to be a part of helping facilitate that. So why are you here this morning? Why did you get out of bed this morning? There's lots of why questions that come up. How are we going to answer them? Why are you wearing the clothes that you wear? Ladies, why are you wearing that thing on your head? Why do we stop at intersections? Lots of different questions. Do you know? Do you know why? Do you have an answer for these? As I look over the crowd this morning, the majority of you here are Mennonite. And so I would ask you as well, why are you Mennonite? You know, how we answer these questions reveals a lot about us. Do we know why? Do we know why? And is our why a good why? What is our why? So our subject this morning, the title of this topic is the why behind the application, and that's a fairly large subject. I'd like to start by just defining a few terms. I like defining terms and knowing for sure what we're talking about, or at least trying to clarify some of that. So when we talk about why, what are we talking about? What does why mean? And the dictionary definition of why is the cause, reason, or purpose for which. The cause, reason, or purpose for which. So when we're talking about why, we're talking about motive, we're talking about purpose, we're talking about foundation, we're talking about principles, the why. And then application, the Oxford Dictionary says, this is the action, application is the action of putting something into operation. So practice or implementation are other words that could be used there. So application, the action of putting something into practice or into operation. So in short, the why behind the application, why do you do what you do? Why are you doing what you're doing? And thinking about application, this morning, we're not going to think about application in terms of, why do I put salt and pepper on my food? That's not going to be the focus. It's going to be more talking about the practice behind the intent behind biblical or Bible principles. Things that we do with the intent of living out Bible principles. That's going to be primarily the focus this morning. And because of the nature of the topic, the why, I'm going to be putting quite a bit of emphasis on the why and not so much on the application. And I hope my goal this morning is not to diminish application, the need for application, but rather to enhance meaningful application. If we don't know why we're doing what we're doing, our application is going to be fairly meaningless. And so to have meaningful application, we need to know why we're doing what we're doing. But just like faith without works is dead, I believe also a why or purpose without application is also dead. Our application, the things that we practice, shows what our why is. So I'd like to narrow it down a little bit and focus on primarily two things. Having a mindset that starts with why and letting that dictate our application. Or you could also say it this way, understanding the why behind our application. So understanding the why behind our application, and then I don't feel like we can talk about this subject without at least touching a little bit on what our why should be, what our purpose should be. So we're gonna look at those two things. And as I think about starting with why, having a mentality that starts with why, for so many of us, we have practices, things that we do that in some ways we've just kind of inherited without just starting from a clean slate. And figuring out right from the get-go why and practicing from there. We have many things that we've been given. And so having a mentality that starts with why, but also understanding why we do some of the things that we do. And I believe many of us here probably this morning, not everyone, but many here have grown up in Christian homes. And we've basically inherited many good, beautiful practices. Many of us here probably have grown up in conservative Anabaptist homes, and so we've inherited some of those practices, and that's good. We don't want to diminish the beauty of that. There's just many things that we have grown up with that we almost don't even question or think about as growing up in Christian homes, in Christian churches. And in some ways, we probably take a lot of these things for granted. How a Christian should act and what a Christian should do. These are things that a lot of us have had instilled in us since before we can remember. And so as we think about that, think about the things that we've kind of known and done all of our life. Let's think about the importance of understanding the why. Because I believe that with being so familiar with how things should be and what they should be, how they should look, what we should do, that possibly we sometimes get our focus a little bit off. And we focus a lot on the what, and we don't focus enough on the why. And possibly, as a result of that, maybe our why is a little bit not quite where it should be. So in saying all that, I do not want to diminish the beauty and goodness of some of these practices that we have, that we do, a lot of these. That we've done since we were little, but I believe that it's expedient that we understand why we do them. If we don't understand why we do them, they will not have a lot of meaning to us. So as we think about that, the importance of Christians understanding why they do the things that they do, I'd like to look at just four very basic reasons for why that's important, to know why we do what we do. And these are very simple, and they can apply to lots of areas of life. But four reasons for why we should endeavor to know why we do what we do. The first one is knowing why motivates. So to think about this, have you ever been asked to do something, do a daunting task, without giving any explanation for what the purpose was behind it? And to illustrate this, I'm going to pick on David here. So if I would ask David to dig a hole, you know, a big hole, like let's say a 3x3 hole, 6 feet deep, and I would ask him to do that, I would give him a shovel, and I would leave. What are the chances that David is going to industriously stick with that task and dig that hole? You just stick with it and get it done. I mean, it's possible that he'll get into it right away initially. He's a young man, probably full of energy, maybe challenged by the task. But I'm guessing by the time he gets a couple feet down, he's going to get pretty discouraged about it and possibly just walk off the job. Now maybe if David trusts me enough to trust that I have a good purpose for this, then he'll keep at it. But there, David has a purpose. His purpose is fulfilling my purpose that he thinks I have. Now, if I would come up to David and say, hey, we need this hole. It needs to be about 3 feet by 3 feet, 6 feet deep. And the reason that we need this hole is because there's 10 people underneath the ground that are going to die in an hour if we don't get them out. What kind of difference do you think that makes? Now there's a purpose, there's a reason, there's lives to save. David's probably going to stick with it. So knowing why motivates, it helps us to stick with our task, to stick with it with diligence, to have a purpose. Makes a night and day difference. Knowing why also clarifies. As we go through life, we're faced with many situations, many decisions that need to be made. And if we have no why, if we have no purpose, there's no mooring ground. There's no anchor. We face this personally with our families, in our churches, with our neighbors. Stuff comes up. And we have to try to work through it. And if we don't know why, if we don't know what our purpose is in life, we're going to have a hard time. Things are going to not be clear to us. What are we going to do? Where do we start? But when we have a purpose, when we have a why, that it immediately brings a level of clarity. We have a goal that we're trying to attain. And as we face things, we can say, okay, this is our purpose, this is our goal. Is this going to help or hinder that? Helps us to evaluate if certain things are going to be a help or a hindrance. Then the third, knowing why authenticates. So knowing why can give a sense of authority. Knowing why makes our actions explainable to a certain degree. It lends an authority to what we're doing. I remember growing up, we had a milk cow and we had pigs. And one morning when I was out milking, we were doing chores together, and I got done milking and I went and gave the milk to the pigs. I just gave it straight to the pigs. And one of my brothers, I think it was, saw me doing that, and they were immediately like, why are you giving the milk to the pigs? Instead of taking it in and straining it and taking care of it properly. And they were somewhat, you know, upset with me. And I said, well, actually, the cow stepped in the bucket and made the milk all dirty. And that immediately changed the situation. He could see that I had a reason for doing what I was doing, so it authenticated. And we see lots of irrational behavior around us. Like, for example, if I would be standing up here and I would start, you know, just slapping at my back and just kind of wiggling around and rolling around, you would immediately be like, what are you doing? What's going on? Well, if I would say, I don't know, then what would you think? But if I would say, well, I've got a bee in my shirt, that would immediately lend some authentication to what I'm doing, some reason. It would be explainable. And I think that that's an important one to think about as Christians. We do things that the world views as fairly ridiculous. And if we want to authenticate those things, if we want to show people, if we want to point people to God, if we want to, you know, we don't have to convince everyone to do things exactly the way we do, but if we want to, if we want to bring people on board, we're not going to be able to do that if we don't know why we're doing what we're doing. Because to the world, some of the things that we do as Christians are going to look ridiculous. And it is important that we know why we do them so that we can explain them to them, so that they can have a proper image of God and God's people. Having a reason for why we do what we do can make the difference between us being viewed as fools or viewed as people with a purpose. And another part of clarifying, as Christians, and maybe specifically as Mennonites, are there ever times where you're ashamed or embarrassed of the things that you do? You're ashamed or embarrassed by the things that you do. You know, like I said, as followers of Christ, there are things that we do, that we should do, that the world is going to maybe view as ridiculous. And are we ashamed of that? Does that embarrass us? And if it does, then it's possible that you don't know why you're doing it. And you need to figure out why you're doing it. And it's also possible that we are doing ridiculous things, and that's why it's important to know why we're doing what we're doing. Having application and practices that we're ashamed of is just not going to work. It's not going to be sustainable. It's not going to be something that we can pass on to our children and to our grandchildren. And we're most certainly not going to be able to pass it on to other people. We either need to stop doing them, or we need to rediscover why we are doing the things that we're doing. The fourth reason is knowing why inspires. As Christians, we want to inspire people to follow Christ. We want to inspire people to become followers of Christ, to become kingdom workers. I think one of the brothers talked about that yesterday in terms of our children. We want to teach our children to be kingdom people. And if we want to do that effectively, if we want to bring inspiration to people, we need to understand why we do the things that we do, and we need to be able to explain that. And people with purpose have a magnet effect. So someone that has a purpose, they know what they're doing, they know what they're about, that has a drawing effect on people, that inspires people. It's exciting. How we live and what we do have direct reflections of our why. If we have no why or no purpose, our lives will reflect that, and it won't be an inspiring scene at all. In some ways, this can seem pretty simple, some of these ideas, but I wonder if at times, sometimes the most simple things are the things that we actually miss the most. If we don't know why we're doing what we're doing, if we have no purpose, we're going to be pretty dead in the water, aimlessly drifting about. We'll have no motivation. We'll have no clarification in our lives. We'll have no authentication, and we will have no we will not be inspirational. We're not going to be effective Christians, or we're not going to be effective ambassadors of Christ if we don't know why we're doing, if we have no purpose. And as we think about that, it's possible for us to, have the right application and be doing it in the right way, but still not know why we're doing it. Or we could be doing the right things for the wrong reason. And I believe that if we're doing that, especially if we're doing things with no purpose, without knowing why we're doing them, I believe that we'll have two outcomes. Either we're going to stop doing them eventually, we're not going to be able to pass those on, or we'll get to a place of just complacency, where we're finding our security, our purpose actually becomes the thing itself, and we find our security in the practice or in the application that we're doing, rather than in why we're doing it. And so as we look at those four things, motivating, clarifying, the kind of the big question that comes up as we go through that is it possible to have the wrong why? And I certainly believe that it is. I think that we can have the wrong why, we can have the wrong purpose, and we can do all of these things. We can motivate, we can inspire, we can clarify things. But we can be going in the completely wrong direction. We can start with the wrong why. We can have the wrong purpose, and we can do all these things. We can motivate. We can clarify. So it's important that we not only have a purpose, that we know why we're doing what we're doing, but that why is the right thing. That purpose is the right thing. That we have the right purpose. And another reason why that's important is because the same application can be either right or wrong depending on why we're doing it or what the purpose is behind it. I'd like to look at some examples of that in Matthew 6. You can turn there if you want. Matthew 6. I'm not going to read this whole passage. Maybe I'll read the first section, but Jesus is giving a warning, and he brings out three things specifically here at the beginning of chapter 6. He talks about the proper way to give alms, the proper way to pray, and the proper way to fast. And I'll read the first four verses here. It says, Matthew 6, starting in verse 1, says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest the alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doth, that thine alms be seen in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." So, and then he goes on and talks about prayer and fasting. And the problem here is not giving alms. The problem is not prayer. The problem is not fasting. It's the reason that they were doing it and how they were doing it. That's the problem. The practice was good. It was good to give alms. It's obviously good to pray. It's good to fast. Jesus is not saying not to do those things. He's just saying that if you do them, you need to do them for the right reason, and you need to do them in the right way. And that is how it is for us as well. Another example, I think someone touched on this Friday maybe. Another example of this is the widow with her two mites. Once again, Jesus kind of used the rich people as an example of how not to give. And he used the widow as an example of how to give. So they were both giving, but the widow got praise from Jesus and the others did not. And I believe that was because of why they were giving and how they were giving. So it's important that we know why we're doing the things that we're doing. And it's important that our why is right. Romans 14, verse 23, the very last part of this, says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And so we can do things, we can do the right thing, we can do it in the right way, but if we're not doing it out of faith, if we're not doing it for the right reason, it's sin. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without purpose, it is impossible to please him. So, my question for you this morning, are you doing things? Are you doing right things for the wrong reason? Are you doing right things for the wrong reason? Now, that's a challenging question, I think. Are we doing right things for the wrong reason? Am I doing good things for the honor and glory that I get from it, the security that it brings to me? Or am I doing them for the right reason? And I believe that as we look at that question, as we evaluate that in our lives, the answer is not to stop doing the good things that we're doing. I'm not saying that at all. The answer is to get on our knees and figure out what the purpose is behind this. Why are we doing it? Get our why straight. What should our why be? So as we look at what our why should be, that's kind of the second part here. Looking at what our why should be, what should our why be? What should our purpose be? In some ways it's kind of broad. I think there's a lot of sub whys out there. There's a lot of little whys, you could say, for the doing the things that we do. But ultimately, I believe that it all boils down to two. There's only two whys out there. There's only two purposes. There's God's purpose, and there's Satan's purpose. And I think that that's important for us to understand. All of the things that we do either boil down to God's purpose or Satan's purpose. And Satan's purpose is anything that is not God's purpose, anything that distracts from God's purpose. God's purpose brings life, and Satan's purpose brings death. So, how do we know if our why is misplaced or not? How do we know if our whys, all of our sub-whys maybe, if you want to call it that, boil down to the right purpose, to the right why? And ultimately, what is God's purpose for us? I'd like to look at a few verses just to bring out at a very base level what God's purpose is for us as Christians. Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7 Say, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So what is our purpose here? What is God's purpose for us here? And that's the ultimate question. If we want to serve God, we want to be Christians, it's not about what we want, it's what God wants. And that needs to become what we want. It says, I have created him for my glory. We are created. The reason that we're here on earth is to bring glory to God. Romans 11, verse 36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's the reason we're here. We're here to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, whither therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And we could read hundreds of verses that bring this point out. The reason for our existence, the ultimate why for why we're here on earth, is to glorify God. That's the baseline. That's the baseline for us. And as we go through life, as we do church together, as we do family together, if our whys for the things that we do don't all filter back to that ultimate why, then we're not on the right track. If all of our whys don't filter back to ultimately glorifying God, we're not on the right track. And we'll end up like Matthew writes in Matthew 7 with houses that are built on sand. When faced with adversity, they're going to fall flat. And Isaiah 47, verse 14 says, behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them, and they themselves, and not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. They shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit upon. Stubble. It won't be able to stand against adversity. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We need to get that right this morning. If our why is not rooted and grounded in the foundation of Jesus Christ, it's just not going to work. And we can applicate all we want, but in the end, if we're not doing it for the right reason, then we'll be like the people in Matthew 7. Let's just turn there quickly. Matthew 7, verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These were good things. But Jesus says that they were works of iniquity. It's important that we know why we're doing what we're doing, and that our why is rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. God has given us three tremendous gifts to help us evaluate this. So as we face the little things in life, it seems like at times it's difficult to know what is going to glorify God. And oftentimes there's multiple things, multiple right ways to glorify God. And how are we gonna work through all of that? And I believe that God gave us three tremendous helps in this. He gave us the Word of God right here. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us the brotherhood. I believe that those three working together is just a beautiful picture, and it can be a tremendous help to us as we try to work through and apply practices or live out our why, live out the purpose that God has called us to, of glorifying Him. And we can be sure that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are never going to contradict each other. The Holy Spirit is never going to tell us to do something contrary to the Bible. And as we work through that, as each of us in a brotherhood setting are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we're looking at the Bible in a right way. That can just bring a tremendous blessing as each one brings their perspective to try to evaluate, are the things that we're doing, are they based on the right thing? And it's possible there are times that the brotherhood is not infallible. We're human beings, and the brotherhood is not perfect. And there could be times where we need to be careful with that. Times when possibly the brotherhood as a whole is not lining up with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But we need to be very, very cautious in those situations and just very, very prayerful. It's important that we have brotherhood. And if we find ourselves in that type of situation, I think it's very important that we find brothers that can help us be balanced. We find people that can help us be balanced, because on our own, we won't be. I'd like to look at a few times when it's appropriate to maybe not know why, or rather where there's a little bit of a shifting of the why in some situations. So as we think about our ultimate purpose of glorifying God, and then a lot of the sub-whys that come in there, some of these situations, maybe we don't know exactly what this sub-why is, but we can find another why that also points back to glorifying God. And I think that it was brought out yesterday very well, but with our children, I think is a time where that's appropriate. It is important for our children to learn to obey without knowing why. Why they have to obey this exact thing. We tell them that they can't do something. We tell them that they can't go outside right now. It's important that they learn to just do that, because we said that's what they need to do, to obey without knowing why. But like I said, that's more of a shifting of whys. We're still, our ultimate goal is still to glorify God. We're pointing them to God. We're training them to have a relationship with God and to obey God without always knowing why, because we've faced those situations often. And then as well, I think this can take place in the brotherhood, maybe in a little bit different way, and maybe not for a long period of time, but I think there's times in the brotherhood that things can come up, applications can be made, and we maybe don't understand exactly why we're doing this thing in this way. But we can submit to the brotherhood. That's a very important thing. We can submit to the brotherhood, and we can do this thing for the sake of our brothers. And once again, that's pointing us to Christ, glorifying God. And I think we should be careful with that as well. I think that if we're operating that way, if the only reason that I'm doing a certain thing is for the sake of my brother, that's going to be a little bit hard to pass on to our children. So I think that there's a good time to do that. There's a right time to do that. But I think that it's also important that we continue digging in and try to understand why our brothers feel that this is the right way to do this. Just a few cautions. It's hard to cover all the grounds or all the nuances of this, but just a few things that I would caution against is as we pursue to know why we do the things that we do, let's not get so caught up in trying to figure out why we're doing this one little thing, this one little obscure thing, that in the meantime we throw out a bunch of principles at the same time. If in our pursuit to understand why we're doing the things that we do, brotherhood goes out the window, that is not good. That is not going to honor and glorify God. And then another thing that I think is important is that we be slow to change. And I say that a little bit hesitantly, because if something needs to be changed, we need to change it. But especially in a church setting, practices that seemingly have had a purpose at some point, I think we should be very cautious and slow about just, you know, quickly changing some of those things. I believe that God will bless us as we take time to evaluate carefully why we're doing some of these things that we do. Our purpose here on earth is to glorify God. And doing that well is not a hasty process. It just takes time. There's a quote that says, "Take time for all things. Great haste makes great waste." And I don't think that's a universal truth, but I think it's something that has a lot of value. Take time for all things. Great haste makes great waste. And then I believe this quote comes from Brother Rolland. We need to see it straight before we can set it straight. Let's make sure that we see it straight. Acts 17, verse 28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." For in him we live and move and have our being. That's our purpose. Is that your testimony this morning? To live and move and have your being in Jesus Christ. Is that your testimony, or are you lifting up yourself? Are your goals the reason that you do the things that you do? Is it to glorify yourself? Do you know why you do the things that you do? Do you know why you do the things that you do? I would just challenge you with that question. Think about it. Why do you do the things that you do? And as you work through that, is your why foundational? Is it rooted in the Word of God? Is it rooted in the eternal purpose of God? Are you doing the right things for the wrong reason? Are you doing the right things for the wrong reason? I think that's just a tough one, because I have found that it's easy for me to do a few things right, almost to excuse some things that I do wrong. Are you doing the right thing for the right reason? Just want to wish each one of you God's blessing. It's been a privilege to be here, and I just pray that as you go from here, as you continue living out your Christian life, as you continue seeking to fulfill that purpose that God has created you for, as you evaluate the things that you do, your practices, as you go home to your congregations and you work through these things, I just want to bless you in that and pray that everything that we do can be for God's honor and glory. God bless.